Marriage Today presents How Winners Think by Jimmy Evans.
This message I have this morning is called How Winners Think. And I'm talking to you about the way that we think, especially in difficult times. Getting through difficult times, whether economic or family or health or just discouragement, whatever it might be. And this message this morning is talking about Jesus, the ultimate winner, the ultimate victor. And here's what Hebrews 12 says, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus won the victory of the ages for us, but through a tremendous ordeal. And what this is saying is this: Jesus is the ultimate victor, but he has a lesson to teach you. And if you learn this lesson from Jesus of how he thought during the worst day that any human has ever gone through in human history, Good Friday was not a good Friday for Jesus. It's a good Friday for us, but not for Jesus. He went through the worst ordeal in human history, and he got through it. We're told here the secret of how he got through it, and I want you to listen to me. It's a transferable secret. All winners think alike, secular or Christian. When you find a person who just is a chronic overcomer, they're always finding a way to win. They're always finding a way to overcome. They think differently than people who get overwhelmed and quit or lose or constantly defeated. And Jesus did. In Hebrews 12, 2 is where we find the secret. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and that means Jesus can tell you anything about faith. He's the ultimate faith teacher, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Well, now, let me just make this simple. Jesus died on what day? Friday. What day was he resurrected? Sunday. Okay? When Jesus was going through Friday, he wasn't thinking about Friday, because there was no joy on Friday. Friday was shame and humiliation and torture and death. There was not one good thing happening on Friday. But Sunday was the joy day. Sunday was the day when all of God's promises come true. When the stone rolls away, when you come out resurrected from the tomb, and you're reunited with your Father and reunited with all your disciples, and you have overcome death and hell and the devil himself. Sunday was the joy day. Friday was the pain day. And here's how winners think. They focus on the finish line and not the fight. They focus on the prize and not the pain. All of us go through bad things in life. Every single one of us go through difficulties in life. But some of us get trapped mentally within our difficulties, and we become overwhelmed and defeated because we get trapped on a bad Friday. Because how many of you know we're living in a bad Friday of human existence right now? It's a bad Friday of history. Economically, world events, many things are happening, and you personally, in your life, in your physical health or your job or your marriage or something, you may be living in a bad Friday, but I've got some good news for you. It may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. Did you know that? And that's the difference. Jesus never got discouraged, but here's what verse 3 says. Hebrews 12, 3. Consider him, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Consider him. Think about the faith of Jesus Christ. And if you don't learn this lesson, you're going to live your life discouraged and overwhelmed. And here's my opinion. I believe the devil's full-time job is to discourage us. He wants to overwhelm us and discourage us so that we live in just a chronic state of discouragement and even depression and even thoughts of suicide and things like that. I mean, he just wants to drive us to living a hopeless, joyless life. But our perspective, God, we choose our perspective. No one chooses our perspective. The devil doesn't choose my perspective. God doesn't choose my perspective. My friends don't choose my perspective. I choose my perspective. And it is what encourages me or discourages me. Two people can go through identical circumstances and one comes out better and the other comes out bitter. But it's all dependent upon their perspective. It's the old saying that your attitude determines your altitude. Two men sat in prison one night looking out, and one saw bars and the other saw stars. See, no one chooses your perspective for you. You choose your perspective. And your perspective will either create faith and confidence and courage, or it will create discouragement and feeling overwhelmed and feeling as though that you can't get ahead in life and you can't win in life. Let me give you two basic ways of thinking. Two basic ways, if you just take all thinking and break it down into two different ways of thinking. The first is photographic thinking. This is not the way Jesus thought, but it's the way the devil wants you to think. And photographic thinking is Friday thinking. That's simply what it is. Anytime that you're going through a bad time in your life, the devil will take a picture of it, put it in your face, and say, it'll never get better than this right here. Your marriage, you're going to be stuck for the next 20 years with this loser right here. Put it in your head, it'll never get better than this. See, if you do see the future, he wants you to see it through the dirty lens of daily difficulties. If you do look into the future, he wants you to see your future as broke and sick and a loser and overwhelmed and all of those things. That's the way the devil wants you to think. If you're a parent, it's your child's worst moment. The devil will take a picture, put it in your face, and say, you're a terrible parent. This child will never get better than this. Because let me say this. When you think in photographic terms, you always do the wrong thing. The devil wants us to think that way because you always make wrong choices when you're thinking those kinds of thoughts. It'll never get better than this. There's no hope. You know, Friday's the end. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Friday wasn't the end. Friday was the beginning. And Jesus knew it. This is the beginning of a new era of human history. This is the beginning of a new race of human beings that are born of the Spirit and not of the blood. This is the beginning of a family that is restored back to the authority and blessing of Eden, where they fell. Jesus knew that Friday was the beginning. The devil wanted him to believe that it was the end. And everyone around him was shouting curses and insults. But Jesus didn't listen to it because he didn't think in those terms. I want you to listen to me. I have never counseled a person who was chronically depressed or discouraged that thought anything other than like that. Every person I've ever counseled, and I'm including myself in this, any time that I've ever been chronically discouraged, it's been because I'm thinking like that. It'll never get better. This is the way it's always going to be. Photographic terms. Here's the other way of thinking. This is called Sunday thinking. It's called prophetic thinking. And that is this. It may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. I may be going through a tough time in my marriage. I may be going through a tough time in my career. I may be going through a tough time with my health, but I'll just tell you this right now. Even though I'm going through a tough time right now and it may not look in the natural as though I'm winning, Sunday's coming because my God is faithful and I have promises that I know He'll fulfill. I'm not going to look into the future through the dirty lens of my past and all my failures or the dirty lens of how bad things are right now. I'm going to look into my future through the lens of the Word of God and the promises of God because my God is a faithful God who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. And let me make this comment, and this is a personal opinion that I have, and it's this. I believe if Jesus wouldn't have been thinking about Sunday, he would have died before he ever got to the cross and we wouldn't have a Savior. If you've ever seen the movie, The Passion of the Christ, and I think that, I don't know if little kids ought to watch that or not, but I'll tell you, it is a graphic portrayal of what our Lord went through. And when you watch that movie and you see the torture that Jesus went through long before he got to Golgotha, I believe if Jesus would have been thinking in photographic terms, he would have died of a broken heart on the Via Dolorosa. And we wouldn't have a Savior. But the way that Jesus got through it, it's a lesson. It's transferable. The way that Jesus got through his ordeal is he kept thinking about the finish line. He kept thinking, if I can just get through this, I'm going to be back with my Father again. I'm coming out of the tomb. I'm going to be reunited with my disciples. I am going to be in my eternal state where I came from heaven. Everything is going to happen on Sunday if I can just get through this ordeal. And that's the way that Jesus thought. And so before I go any further, I want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer this aloud, just to yourself. And that is, how do you think? Are you a photographic thinker? Have you allowed the devil to convince you in difficulties in your life that it was over, it was never going to get any better than that, and as a result, you gave up too quickly? You became overwhelmed, you started talking negatively in fatalistic, cynical kind of terms, that you stopped trying, that you stopped believing, and you became overwhelmed. Well, I've done it before, so I'm not just talking at you, I'm saying I've done that before. I've let photographic thinking steal some of God's blessings from my life. Anybody else share that with me? Or are you going to let me stand up here by myself with my hand up here? Thank you very much. All of you, raise your hand. Special blessing on them, Lord, for doing that. We've all done it. But how do you think? How do you think? Let me ask you another question now, and this is not about thoughts. It's about feelings. Do you generally feel joyful and optimistic, or do you generally feel discouraged and overwhelmed? Generally speaking, do you wake up happy or do you wake up sad? Do you feel hopeful and optimistic as you're just living your life and going your way? Does it come out of your mouth, joy and optimism and hope or faith? Or are you generally kind of a negative person? Because this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the fruit of the root comes from. And so let me talk for just a minute about the nature of prophetic thinking. This is going to come up on the screen here so you can read it with me. The essence of prophetic thinking. Thinking that considers present circumstances with faith in God's invisible presence, His supernatural power, and His personal love and promises for every area of my life. That's all prophetic thinking is. It's inclusive thinking. Okay, so let's go through this exercise this morning. How many of you believe that Jesus is here this morning? Anybody believe Jesus is here? He said, "Where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst." He also said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." So Jesus is always here, right? Yes. Is he powerful? Yes. Is he more powerful than the devil? Yes. Is he more powerful than sickness? Is he more powerful than bad people? Yes. He's more powerful than anybody, right? Yes. Okay. Does he love you?
Yes.
Okay. Are his promises true?
Yes.
It's hard to be discouraged when you're thinking that way, isn't it? You know, I may be going through a difficult circumstance in my life, but God's with me. He's more powerful than anything I'm going through. He loves me. And his promises are true. That's all prophetic thinking is. It's inclusive thinking. It's thinking in four-dimensional terms. I'm not just looking at what my eyes can see and my senses can perceive. I understand there's a reality beyond the physical reality. It's called the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is in my midst. Everybody with me now? Okay. Here's the nature of photographic thinking. Thinking that considers present circumstances without faith in God's invisible presence, his supernatural power, and his personal love and promises for my life. Let me say this. What the devil wants to do is to overwhelm you with natural circumstances so you simply forget the most important things. We have to remember this. Our God is invisible. And everything he does in our lives is based on faith. And prophetic thinking is simply believing in four-dimensional terms. It's believing in the invisible things of God that are true for me. And when I realize that, I can't be discouraged. You can't be discouraged when you understand who God is and you believe he's with you and he loves you and his promises are all true. When you become discouraged or depressed or even suicidal, it's because you forget those things. You forget those things. I've done too many suicide funerals as a pastor. And in every case, when a person commits suicide, it's because they become overwhelmed with their circumstances and they believe that they'll never get better. They're thinking in photographic terms. And here's what I say at funerals where a person has taken their life. Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary set of problems. You get trapped in a bad Friday and you forget about Sunday because Sunday's coming, ladies and gentlemen. Sunday's coming. The devil wants to overwhelm you. He wants to depress you. He wants to destroy your life if possible, and he wants to trap you in photographic thinking. Let me give you the three principles of prophetic thinking very quickly. How do you learn to think in prophetic terms and not get overwhelmed by your circumstances? Number one, don't be controlled by what you see or feel. Walk by faith. Walk by faith. The joy, when the Bible says that Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, the joy was not in the natural realm. Everything Jesus was looking at was death and torture. Jesus didn't have anything to look at that was encouraging to him. The joy was in the spirit realm on Sunday morning. Let me say this. Here's what faith is. Faith is your spirit telling your mind what reality is. Mind, let me tell you something. I know you're receiving the signals that the eyes are sending, that the ears are sending, that my emotions are sending on. I understand, brain, that you're receiving all these signals of this level of reality. But let me tell you what reality is, brain. My God is with me and he will not let me down. He will come through. You understand, brain? Let me tell you something, buddy. Just take your Bible. Let me tell you something, buddy. You may think you know it all, but you don't know it all. He knows it all. And faith is your spirit, man, taking the Word of God and finding reality and imposing it on your brain. Who for the joy set before him. There was no joy on that Friday. No joy on that Friday. Not in any way. And all of his senses were going through torture. The joy was on Sunday morning, and his spirit man told his mind, don't you dare give up. Don't you dare give in. You're going to get to Sunday morning, and God is going to come through for you. That's what faith is. Fear. Fear. Fear is your mind telling your spirit what reality is. Oh, no. That giant's too big to kill. Oh, that mountain's too big to move. Oh, that problem's too big to solve. Oh, I tell you what, this is the biggest thing we've ever seen in our whole lives. And I'll just tell you what, this and this and this. And your mind is receiving all of this input and telling your spirit, get up! And somewhere in your life, you've got to make up your mind whether you're going to walk by faith or walk by sight. Because the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. There's nothing wrong with our senses. They're given us as a blessing from God. But who is the boss and who is the servant? And let me just tell you this. The boss is your spirit. The servant is your mind. But when the boss becomes your mind and your spirit becomes the servant, you will live discouraged, you will live overwhelmed, and you will not live by faith. You walk by faith. That's what prophetic thinking is. Number two, secret or principle of prophetic thinking is find a promise from God's Word that matches your problem and focus on it, not the problem. This is how Jesus overcame. This was the secret of how Jesus overcame. Now listen to this. 2 Corinthians 1:20. All the promises of God, all of the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen to the glory of God. Okay, how many of you have a problem in your life on some level? Raise your hands. Okay, everybody's got a problem. A few of you are lying like dogs. You're the people that didn't raise your hand in that last question. You're irritating me a lot. But you understand there's a promise for every problem. You know that, don't you? You know why this book is so thick? Because this is your promised land. Hundreds and hundreds of promises. You cannot find a problem without a promise. And all of them are yea and amen in a relationship with Jesus. You can't extract them through a relationship with Jesus. That's why it says in him they're yes. In a relationship with Jesus, this is your promised land. And again, the devil wants you to focus on the problem and forget the promise. But we have promises. Let me be specific for just a minute. Let's say you have health problems. And we're going to personalize these as we read them. And you might want to remember these or write these down. Let's say you have health problems. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all my diseases. So when you get overwhelmed with physical problems, there's a promise right there that he's going to heal all your diseases, okay? Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes, I'm healed. When the devil comes and tells you that you're going to live sick the rest of your life, you just pull those out right there. This is a two-edged sword. It'll defeat the devil every single time. This is the Word of God right here. It's our sword of the Spirit. But you sit there and wrestle the devil with your own thoughts. You pull out the Word of God on him. With health problems, Fear of the future. A lot of people deal with fear of the future, especially in the world that we're living in right now. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Did you know you have a future and a hope in God? Did you know that? Did you know that's what God thinks about you? The devil wants you to think that God's against you. And God's gonna do something bad to you. That's a lie. Hebrews 13:5-6. He himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Financial problems. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all of my need. My God, when you're going through a bad Friday financially, that's a good scripture right there, isn't it? He's going to supply all of my need. 2 Corinthians 9. God is able to make all grace abound toward me, that I, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. That's a good word when the devil tells you that you're going to stay broke for the rest of your life. You need that promise right there. Failure, a fear of defeat or failure. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that's formed against me is going to prosper. And every tongue which rises against me in judgment, I'm going to condemn it. Because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is from the Lord. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I don't have to be defeated because God's on my side, and I can do everything. The fear of death, or even the fear of hell. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? You know Christians don't die, do you? Do you understand that? Do you understand that Christians don't die? Okay. You understand that when you're born again, it means that you live forever. And you understand that the instant that your eyes close here, they open there. The instant you take your last breath here, you take your first breath there. The instant that your senses dull here, they come alive there. Christians don't die. It's the biggest lie in the world. So when the devil comes and he tells you, you're going to die, this is going to happen to you, you just say, get behind me, Satan, I'm never going to die. That's what he said. Whoever believes in me shall never die. So we have no fear. Well, Jesus had a promise. It was in Psalm 16:10-11. This is what it says. You will not leave my soul in hell or in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One. This is interesting because this is what Jesus called himself in his relationship with the Father, your Holy One. You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The reason that we know that that was Jesus' promise is that's what Peter says in Acts 2:31. In Acts 2:31, Jesus or Peter takes Psalm 16 and explains that was concerning Jesus. So here's how Jesus got through Friday. All the way through Friday, Jesus kept saying, you promised me you wouldn't leave me in hell. You promised me that my body would never see decay. Father, in your presence there's fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You promised me, Father, and they're sitting there beating him and torturing him and putting crowns of thorn on him. And what we see is what was being done on the outside. On the inside, Jesus was quoting this scripture all day long to himself. You said you wouldn't leave me in hell. You said you wouldn't let my body see decay. But Father, in your presence, there's fullness of joy. God, I'm thinking about being with you again. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And they're beating him and tormenting him and insulting him and nailing to the cross. But he was saying this to himself right here. Jesus got a promise on Friday, and it's the only thing that got him to Sunday. He hung on to the promise that the Father had given him. I'm not going to leave you in hell, son. I'll never let your body see decay, and you're going to be right back here with me where there's fullness of joy. You keep that in your spirit, son, because I'm going to come through for you on Sunday morning, no matter what a man does to you on Friday. And we've got to remember the promises of God. You fight with those promises. Number three. To seek prophetic insight on all levels. To seek prophetic insight. Prophecy is a powerful thing. First of all, 30% of the Bible is prophecy. This is what distinguishes the Bible from any other religious book. You can't find any other religious book that tells the future in advance with accuracy. And most of the prophecy in the Bible is concerning the days that we live in. There will be a one world government. There will be a one world economy. The Antichrist is not a political, he is not a military leader. He controls the world through one currency that can be controlled electronically. And now Russia, China, the United Nations, and the world is clamoring for a one-world government with a one-world economy. And when you see North Korea fired off a missile yesterday, Israel and Iran are locked down in a Mideast conflict, and everything that's being talked about or everything we're seeing in our world is in the Bible. But can I tell you the good news? He comes and we win.
Amen.
Yeah, it's written right here. Yeah. Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, look up. Look up, lift up your head, your redemption draws near. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're like me and you look around and say, what about me? What about my future? What about this world's a mess? What about my children? What about my grandchildren? He's coming again. He's coming again. And the Bible says, comfort each other with those words. Sometimes when you get overwhelmed, we want to live as overcomers. We want to do our best in this life and not give up. But I'm saying this, we need to remind ourselves constantly, he could come today. In the early church, it was called Maranatha. Maybe he's coming today. Maranatha, the Lord is coming. And it's encouraging. So Bible prophecy is given to us for encouragement. Number two, prophets in the church. God sends prophets to the church. Ephesians 4, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. We have prophets here in our church, people who go to the church that we believe have a significant prophetic gift that's been tested because God speaks to us through them, and it's always encouraging. It's always for the sake of edifying. One other point that I want to make, and it's personal prophecy. And personal prophecy is just body prophecy because everyone who is a child of God can do it. 1 Corinthians 14. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mystery. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. That's the purpose of prophecy. Not to intimidate, not to belittle, but edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who prophesies edifies the church. Well, prophecy isn't for telling the future necessarily. I mean, it can include parts of that. It's encouraging each other with words from God. Now, in 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul tells Timothy to war with the prophecies that were given to him. Now, this is my prophecy book, and I've told you about this before, but this is actually where all the prophecies that I've ever received, the, you know, significant prophecies, I've got them written down in this book right here. I've got 64 pages of prophecy written down, plus these are the physical prophecies. Our prophetic presbytery, Karen and I went through prophetic presbytery. It's in here. It's a lot of different papers I've got in here. But let me tell you about this one. I want to tell you about this one right here. Because the Bible says pursue spiritual gifts. The word is zeloo, where we get our word zealous. Burn hot for spiritual gifts. Passionately pray that God would use you spiritually, but especially with the gift of prophecy, because it is the most edifying of all the gifts in the church today. You say, well, what is prophecy? Prophecy is you're praying or you're going your way and God gives you an impression to encourage someone, a perspective that you're going to share with them. When you're giving a prophecy, you don't have to change your voice like, can I give you a prophecy? Thus saith the God. You don't have to do that. It's not now. Your eyes, you know, kind of like, you don't have to do that. You're just a real sweet person, and here's what I say when I give somebody a word, you know. I say, listen, this, just chew the meat, spit out the bones. You know, I think this is God, maybe bad pizza, I'm not sure. I'm just going to share it with you if it's encouraging. Fine, if it's not, please forgive me. But just real graciously, you share a word. But it can change a person's life. It can save a person's life. It can help a person to make a right decision. It's never meant to control, but to confirm what God's doing. Well, I've received prophecies. Prophecy has dramatically changed this church, me, Karen, and our family, dramatically. And the Bible, by the way, in 1 Thessalonians 5 says, do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies. The reason people despise prophecies is it's counterintuitive. It makes no sense to the natural mind. So some people who have an inflated view of their intellect sometimes kind of think that, you know, there's something wrong with prophecy. But remember, the Spirit's the boss, not the mind. And the mind is important, but Spirit's the boss. So a young man in the church last summer walked up to me, a real humble young man, he and his wife have served here in the church for a long time, precious people. And it was in the old sanctuary, and I was kind of down around the front greeting, and he walked by me, just walked right past me. And he said, Pastor Jimmy, I was praying this week and I believe the Lord gave me a word for you. And he handed it to me. Never done anything like this before. You can tell it was torn out of his spiral notebook. I really thought he should have written it on parchment and framed it, but it's all right. But I'm joking. Anyway, he just had this in his spiral notebook. He tore it out and handed it to me. And I read it. When I got home, I read it. It didn't really mean a lot to me. And it was sweet. But I read it and I just thought, well, that's great. But I stuck it in my book. I stuck it over here in my book. Well, about 3 or 4 months later, I was going through one of those Fridays, you know. And I remembered this word. And I was having a quiet time one morning and I pulled my book out. Because I this is how I encourage myself. When I get into a bad place, these are my happy thoughts. These are the things that the Lord has spoken to me about what's going to happen in the future, about Sunday. And so I pulled this word out, exactly true for what I was going through, exactly explained what I was going through, and still what I'm going through this morning. When I read this word, what it said to me is this: God knows. God knows. What a comforting thing to think that last summer God knew where I was going to be right now. It's comforting to think that He knows me. It's comforting to think that He cares. And it's comforting to think that He knows. And that's what prophecy says. Hey, listen, I was praying for you this week. And God spoke a word for you. And God will use any of you that want to be used. This is not for a few special people. He'll use you. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do for a living, or your age. He'll use you. This word right here, I could never say what this has meant for my life or the encouragement that this brought. Prophetic thinking is not getting trapped in the moment in your life that is discouraging, but remembering the promises and the presence and the prophecies of God. And when you think prophetically and your spirit is the master over your mind, and the spirit through the word of God and the prophetic promises of God is dictating to your mind, it may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. No, 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 no. You're not going to get us down. You're not going to get us all depressed. You're like a screaming little girl. Sorry, little girls. You're like a screaming little girl up here, you know, just frantic, you know, and all bothered and everything. And I'm telling you right now, you grow up. You grow up. You think mature thoughts, because our God is going to come through. And when you train your mind to think prophetically, you will have joy and you will get through your problems, and Sunday will come.
This concludes session 2. Please continue with Think About the Promise of God's Presence, the next teaching in this series.